that's pretty well explained about that.
That's a question for the ages. We've got Max Egan on the line. It's 8:15. Max, how's it going?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sorry I'm a bit late.
That's all right, Max. You're only 5 minutes late. That's good. Max, we're just talking about the 100th monkey. Have you ever heard about that?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, heard about that. That's what we're waiting for, mate, the 100th monkey. That's what we want.
When will he arrive?
When will he arrive?
Cue in any minute.
He's a bit late.
We're just talking about collective consciousness. Is it real or is it just us, the illusion that it's just sort of accepting our ego? Or I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, really, if you look at a lot of scientific work, look at the work of people like Nassim Harriman, look at people like Bruce Lipton, and you start to realize how the body actually works. And what you find that we have here is that your body is simply like a biological computer that functions on electromagnetic impulses, and it downloads a frequency from the surrounding field, which you experience as you. You know, and Chad experiences as Chad, Jack experiences as Jack, I experience as Max, but ultimately it all comes from the same source. It's the energy, the fabric that makes up reality itself, is this pure conscious electrical energy. This is what's being proven now through science. This is what shamans and tribal people have been telling us for years. But you basically download a frequency of that consciousness that is all creation of the universe, the multiverse, everything that possibly is this consciousness. And you're simply one frequency of it, one expression of that frequency. And it downloads into your body and you see the world from a completely unique perspective, unique to anybody else. There is no one else in the world that has the perspective that you have. And so that makes you completely unique, but it also makes you part of the one global universal consciousness. And that's basically the way it works. This is what they've been telling us for years.
I also like the holographic theory because, like, in a sense, you are the universe in yourself as well. And just like every part of the brain can replicate the whole brain as well, the holographic construct, do you find also, like, there's something in that is intrinsically about the way reality works? But what do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the whole adage of as above, so below, what we find is that within your body is an entire universe and you are the center of your external universe. And what is in your body is mirrored in the universe around you. Each of us lives in a separate universe of which we are the center, which is an exact replica of the universe that exists within us. And so if you keep your inner universe healthy, you keep your outer universe healthy. But at the same time, all of these universes overlap as we interact with each other. It becomes a collective universe and a collective manifestation. And when you look at the work of people such as Nassim Harriman, and you realize that atoms are mainly empty space, there is no matter. You know, nothing ever touched anything, ever. Because there's space between everything. There's space between all the atoms. There's space between you and the chair you're sitting on. You know, so nothing ever touched anything. Most of the universe is empty space. If you got all the matter in the universe and compressed it down, took all the space out of the atoms and compressed it down into one object, it would be about the size of a green pea. So there is no such thing as solid matter. So the universe is basically based on perception and it's based on a collective manifestation of overlapping universes. That's the multiverse. That's the multiverse that people talk about. It's the universe of which every person and everything and every animal has its own center.
What do you think about carbon? It's got 6 neutrons, 6... What's the other stuff? 2
carbon?
Yeah.
I think carbon's wonderful stuff. I think carbon is great. Without carbon, we couldn't survive. We are carbon-based life forms. There's also a link I've put on my website about... A scientist who's done a whole bunch of research and has created basically free energy from carbon. By simply putting a film on your window, you can extract energy from sunlight, turn it into electricity, use as much as you want, and what you don't use, you can turn back into light and beam it line of sight to the person next door so they can use it.
Interesting. That I've seen that. It's quite mind-blowing, this technology.
Yeah. See, we're carbon-based life forms. Carbon tax is a complete scam. Julia Gillard's just basically selling out life. She's putting a tax on life. It's a complete scam. It won't help the environment. Carbon isn't the problem. The problem is pollutants. They might complain about things like carbon monoxide. Well, fine, put a tax on monoxide. Put a tax on the companies that are producing the pollutants. But don't put the tax on carbon and pass it down to the people, because that's simply a tax on breathing and a tax on life.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about carbon, the carbon tax, and the UN has put out that, you know, the, at this time, at the moment, they're really stretching out. It's been the warmest of the year. You know what I mean? And
all, they're saying, oh, there's been really extreme.
You sound like robots.
Yeah. Max Egan back on the line. Max. Max,
yeah, sorry about that. Good old Telstra phone connections, hey?
Yeah, dirty, dirty corporation Telstra, but Vodafone's worse. I just want to say that out there to the, the public. Dirty.
Oh, you know, I'm not even with Telstra, but they put in the infrastructure, so yeah.
You got to watch that, Max. You don't know what they're going to.
Got to watch that. So yeah, carbon. Carbon's not a problem at all. We're carbon-based life forms, and there shouldn't be a tax on carbon. I think that's what we were talking about, wasn't it?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Max, there's a lot of unrest going on in the Middle East. Pakistan is with its trigger finger against NATO because they bombed 24 soldiers to death the other day. The British embassy in Iran just got taken over. Are these big signs that we're heading down the road to World War III?
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely trying to start World War III, you know, but it's all theatre. I mean, it's just been, you know, it's all theatre. All of this stuff's theatre, same as the carbon tax. It's all theatre, you know. Like, you've got to have certain rules in life, folks, and the first rule you need to have is that you should never, ever, ever believe anything your government tells you. Because they're a bunch of liars, and that's just been proven by their track record. So that's rule number one.
Yeah.
And then don't pay too much attention to the media as well.
Yeah.
If you keep those two rules in mind, then you can step back and you can actually see what's going on in the world.
Mm. Have you looked into the Chappelle Corby issue much, Max?
Look, I haven't been up to date on the Chappelle Corby issue. The whole thing just stinks. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense at all. But even the fact of someone being put in jail for life for possessing marijuana is absolutely absurd. I mean, marijuana is the one plant that could save the world if they legalize it. That's the only reason it's illegal, because if they legalize it, they wouldn't have a coal industry, they wouldn't have an oil industry, they wouldn't have a timber industry, a cotton industry, plastics industries, chemical industries. All these things would be put out of business. Paper, best quality paper, best quality clothes, it's a heal-all. The seeds are the only whole food on the planet that you can live on and live in complete health. So It would have put out the pharmaceutical business as well. So there's so many major industries, incidentally, some of the most pollutive industries in the world, which would all be completely eliminated if they legalized marijuana. So the whole concept of someone even going to jail for possessing marijuana or using marijuana is utterly absurd and shows the sociopathic nature of our politicians. It shows how little regard these people actually have for society.
Yeah, look, there's a great website called Expendable.tv. It's called the Expendable Project, but they've done a lot of original research and investigations into the Chappelle Corby matter, and this is actually becoming quite an explosive topic now, because what they've done is they've exposed the government cover-up of the massive drug smuggling that was going on between airports, where baggage handlers were actually putting drugs into bags and then moving them from airport to airport as a distribution mechanism. And then what this group has done is they've exposed the fact that the government knew a lot more than this than they let on, and that they also knew that Chappelle's baggage had been tampered with, but they withheld that information from the media and from her lawyers. And they've also gone on now to show that Channel 7 and other media, but specifically Channel 7, was engaging in some rather totally underhanded tactics, equivalent to the phone hacking scandal, but actually worse.
So you're saying, Channel 7 could be into phone hacking and the invasion of
privacy. And the point here, the really important point of it, like, we're not just talking about one person, Chappelle Corby, as terrible as that is.
Mm.
We're talking about the practices of the media, and we're talking about the collusion between the media and the government to spin stories, to massage propaganda. And why did they want to do that? Well, they had to make the general public believe that Chappelle was guilty, because the general public was coming to the conclusion that Chappelle was innocent, because all the facts led to that. Because you can't sell dope over in Bali and make a profit if it comes from Australia. There's just no, it's like 1/100th the price. So there is no logical reason why you would export marijuana to Bali. The only logical explanation was that it was part of this smuggling syndicate, and that it went to Bali by accident. That was actually the only logical explanation of how this could have happened. But then that was going to expose this massive thing that was going on. So what they did was they had to drum up more evidence against Chappelle, but they couldn't find any evidence against her. But they got Channel 7 and they got the media onto it, and they started digging and digging and digging, and they found out that her father had a marijuana conviction in 1975. And then they started digging up all these things on her father, which was all just flaky rubbish. And then that hit the media for years. There were all these stories about Chappelle's dad being a drug dealer, and they've all been exposed as complete frauds. But this new book came out. And anyway, it's just a subject that I've researched a lot, but I won't hold the floor.
No, that was interesting.
I'll hand it over to you. Yeah.
No, that's all really interesting, and it's probably correct. I mean, and even the fact that they go and dig up any information on her father, you see that they present everybody as being squeaky clean. You have to be squeaky clean or you're a lesser person. Oh, my God, look at Chappelle's father. He's human. He's got faults. He's got faults, folks. He's got faults. She's obviously guilty because her parents have got faults, like all human beings have. Oh, look, he goes to the toilet. He's got faults. You know, this is what they do. The media does this. And absolutely, like I said, you should never, ever believe anything your government or your media tells you because they're all a bunch of liars. I challenge any of them to a public debate, any member of the media. Come and debate me on any of the topics that I talk about on my shows or in my films or that we talk on these radio shows. And there's probably good journalists within the media, but the actual media itself is utterly corrupt and serves to be solely a propaganda wing of the government. That's all they are. Now, serious journalism has long since gone by the wayside. We've still got some people out there trying to make a difference, people like John Pilger, actually trying to bring real stories to the world, but their information is squashed. You don't see it on mainstream TV very much, you know. And the media absolutely serves as a propaganda arm for the government, and they prop each other up, and they're told what to say. And they don't know what they're doing. I mean, a media person stands in front of Parliament House and tells you what's going on inside and makes it sound all official. But all that person is doing is she's been standing there outside Parliament House and some politician walks out and gives her a piece of paper and says, say this and make it sound sincere. And that's what they do. They don't have no idea what they're talking about. They're just reading stuff off a cue sheet and making it sound like they know what they're talking about. But they have no idea. And it's just a propaganda theater. It's absolute rubbish. I mean, the real news you'll find on the internet, on alternative news sources, we need to start creating our own media because we've found that people on the ground, I mean, everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. And if you know the right circles and you can be friendly and have strong community around you, you'll usually know someone who knows someone. And you can find out on the ground what's actually going on. And then we can report this stuff ourselves and find, you know, find out ourselves. Because, you know, you can do this by having strong community. That's all you need. We've got a very, very good intelligence gathering network where I live because everybody seems to know everybody else. And I've got enough, I know a broad enough section of society. I know rich people and poor people and everybody in between. And most of them know council members and they know this and they know that. So you get a little bit of insight on what's actually going on behind the scenes, and then report that to the people.
Yeah, well, that's it. The community. You're with the community. Here in Sydney, we just pick up a news. Well, we've got news agents. They're agents of news.
Yeah.
It's there. We just grab it, read it. Most of the time, celebrity stuff and the sport in the background. And that's the thing. It's who you know and what the community knows. And sometimes, you know, Chinese whispers go around, and eventually it all comes back to the truth in a community. But in the city, oh, we've got no bloody chance at all.
That's the problem. You've got these newspapers and radio shows and TV stations, and you find they're all owned by the same people.
Well, yeah, the Murdochs, the Fairfaxes, and look, the Murdoch is up for scrutiny, and now maybe Channel 7 after Herald just mentioned all about that. But the thing is that I'm worried about is that they're going to put a super injunction where you have to have a license to be a journalist, where yourself as a researcher.
That was Derrowood.
I don't care. I don't care what they do. They can put in injunctions to stop me from talking all they want. First, they've got to show me that they've got any jurisdiction over me for a start, because I don't believe they have. They're a bunch of public servants. And their legislation is simply legislation. It's statute law. It's not actual law. I mean, what is legislation? Legislation is an attempt to remove law from the planet and replace it with the will of individuals. And they write these rules that they believe gives them the right to oppress other people and to destroy our environment. Well, sorry, it doesn't apply to me. My one law is do no harm, and that's the way I live my life. And if you're claiming that I need to follow your law, then show me proof of claim. That's my attitude towards them all. They can ban journalism. They can tell me I have to get a license and I don't care. I'll still speak out.
Yeah, Bobby Brown wants this. Oh, our green environmentalist.
That's what I mean. It's a theatre. The Greens are as corrupt as all the other political parties. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a political party. I mean, they're swimming in muck. They're swimming in a sewer. I mean, why would you go and swim in the sewer if you want to change it? You can't change the system from within the system. It's inherently corrupt by its very nature. You need to stop participating in it. You know what I'd like to see next election? I'd like to see everybody stay home. Just don't vote because you just support them. I mean, I don't vote. They come around here sometimes and say, oh, we believe someone here isn't on the electoral roll. And I say, yes, that's me. I don't vote because I refuse to support organised crime. That's basically it. So don't support them, people. Don't vote. Look after yourselves. Govern yourselves. You don't need these people at all. Govern yourselves.
It's interesting that I was listening to some woman the other day. She said 10 points that the mafia runs our state better than the state.
Well, yeah, I mean, the states, the whole thing's run by mafioso types. It's all run by banking cartels and corporations. You know, we need to get the corporatism out of our government.
I forgot to mention before when I was talking about the Corby affair, there's a lady who runs a group called Women for Chappelle, which is a support group for Chappelle Corby. Now, she's been shut down by the Supreme Court, according to her own blog. This is what she reported on her blog. Is it because last week she actually started talking about the recent allegations that have surfaced from the Expendable Project, as I was mentioning earlier, about Channel 7. And she received a court order virtually the following day. It's incredible how quickly they moved. And it means that they, and it's just a little blog. I mean, it's totally grassroots. You know, it's just a person's blog. And she was actually told she had to take down the information or she would be subjected to, you know, massive whatever, you know, legal fines, court orders, convictions, God knows what. So she was given a massive threat by the Supreme Court to shut up about this material. And all she was doing was reporting herself on what was on another website.
So, give me a link to that information. I'll put it on the Crow House. If the Supreme Court want to shut me down, then they can show me proof of claim that they have any jurisdiction over me to do this.
They can show me
why they want it shut down.
Yeah, we really need people to do that. Can you, Jack, can you get in touch? You've got all the links, yeah, but the more people that repeat this information, the harder it's going to be for them to use these mafia tactics to shut people down. They can do it to one person, but they're not going to do it to 10, 20, 50, 100 people. So, good point.
All right, look, Max, we're going to go on the song just to keep our listeners glued in so they won't go off the road. Stay tuned. Can you stay there with us, Max? We're going to come back and we're going to talk about chemtrails.
Yeah, I'll wait around.
20 minutes to 9, you're listening to Workers Radio.
Got Max Egan from the Crow House.
Good morning, Max.
Nice to be here, guys.
It's the last day before we go into December and we're going to go straight into the pagan holidays. Now, there's a myth. Harold's going to say something.
Jack, I've just had an email from Morpheus, who is one of the who we had on the show, who is one of the authors of the Expendable Project, and he's basically saying he's declining to be interviewed as well. People are very concerned about this issue.
They shouldn't be. They should get on here, man.
Well, this is we're taking a risk right now and even talking about it, and I'm really glad to hear that, Max, that you're actually prepared to replicate this information, because I've put it on my website, on truthnews.com.au, and I don't know if I'm now going to expect a letter from the court tomorrow. I don't know. It's possible, right? But the point really to make here is that this issue, you know, sometimes you get points where the tip of the spear in the struggle against the New World Order becomes one issue, because they coalesce all their forces against one particular thing, which then becomes an underground thing that the people are trying to do to get some truth through. And I believe that this issue right now is the absolute tip of the spear in the struggle against the globalist forces that are completely the mafia control of the media and the government. It's just so important. I really can't emphasize it. Anyone listening to this needs to get online, check out the Expendable Project, and if you don't have a blog, start a blog right now. Get onto WordPress. Start a blog, put the information on there. We need you to do this. We're at a point where we are almost able to get this over the line, and it could be the top news story on television tonight. That's how big this is. And they want to suppress it. They want to kill the story, and they want to threaten anyone who's actually bringing it up. And they think they can get away with doing that. But we have the numbers, but people have to get over their fear. It's really important to get over their fear and actually start taking steps. And I mean, I'm doing it already. So I've stuck my neck out. Kim Baxter stuck her neck out. We've stuck our neck out here on this show. But anyone else who does it can only increase the ability that we have to basically, we're just doing what normal human beings do in a society where we protect and support each other. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, well, absolutely. People need to do that. And like I said in the break, there's a quote by Veterans for Life that said, when leaders act contrary to conscience, then we must act contrary to leaders. And that's the bottom line. Don't think that these people rule you, folks, because they don't. We can govern ourselves. We have the ability to do that. And if you're being governed by an inherently corrupt system that is prepared to allow innocent people to rot in jail to cover up their own corruption, then it's time for the people to stand up and fix the problem. And I'm not saying you want revolutionary thing, but just expose these people for what they are. And like this, it's one tip of the spear, because the reason Chappelle Corby is in jail is because the system and those who run it are inherently corrupt. It's the same as the reason fracking is going on, because those who run the system are inherently corrupt. The reason the whales are being pulled out of the ocean and the ground is being polluted and the oceans are being polluted, the reason there's a meltdown in Fukushima is because the government and the system is inherently corrupt, and so are those within it. It's the same problem. All of these things are symptoms of the same problem. But yeah, you're right. This is something that you can grab and you can put in people's faces, because it's a very, very big issue. You can show them and say, look, see how corrupt this system is. This could be you. This could have been you on a holiday to Bali. And suddenly this is found in your luggage and you end up rotting in an Indonesian jail. You're going to just, you know, there for life. I mean, this is absolutely absurd, because you were carrying a plant that wasn't yours, and it's a plant that could save the world if it was legal anyway. And the only reason it's illegal is because the government and the system is inherently corrupt. That's it. And if they're telling you you can't speak about this, well, who are they? Who? What right do they have to tell you you cannot tell the truth? And damn these people to hell if that's their attitude. If that's their attitude and there is a law that they believe can put me away for telling the truth, I'd like to know which sociopathic lunatic politician enacted that law so I can charge them with crimes against humanity, because that is the bottom line. That's what they've done. Don't be coy with these people. Stand up to these people, because they're just a bunch of sociopaths who are running your lives and they have no right to do what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. They are sociopaths. They're idiots, man. I can't believe it. If you ever watch Parliament House, they watch them. We've got a bunch of idiots running a bloody school for these elite who are probably inbred so much that they're mutated they probably can't even tie up their own shoelace.
And, of course, while they're throwing people in prison and throwing away the key for, you know, smuggling drugs in their body cavities, meanwhile, there's massive importation. Industrial quantities are being brought in on a daily basis. And that's what this airport smuggling revelations shows. And that was a customs report. That was actually part of this whole thing, which was a customs report, which was done by a customs officer, a top-level, highly respectable guy, a whistleblower of the highest caliber, Alan Kessing, who wrote the report in 2003, which was suppressed by his own superiors, that showed this massive level of drugs moving through the country through the airports. But his superior said, suppress it, don't talk about it, because it's going to be too hard to fix it. We don't want to talk about it, right? So after Chappelle was convicted, his report was leaked, and guess what happened? They went after him. They went after Alan Kessing and convicted him under the obscure clause of the Crimes Act that was enacted in World War I that was to do with revealing government reports that were considered to be confidential, and he's now a convicted felon because of his whistleblowing report, which was showing something so important that the Australian public needed to know. But that proved that there was this, and he also has said in interviews that there's just massive amounts of heroin and cocaine and all this stuff coming into the country on ships. It's coming in containers. But then you hear these high-profile arrests where someone's got a few grams or maybe a kilo of stuff, body cavities.
What about that dude yesterday got caught with almost 100 kilos?
Well, how did they go?
100 kilos is a lot. Usually it's a lot less than that. Well, usually it's just, you know, something they conceal on their body.
Well, how about
I'm
kid,
not sure what
the 100
kilo one was.
Well, how about that kid that's the Australian kid over in Bali who got caught with 2 grams? And,
well, yeah, that's the most ridiculous end of it, how stupid it is.
Mm.
But the people who are bringing drugs in on their bodies have nothing to do with the drug trade. That is, they are just patsies. They are there to be set up, to be busted, so that we can say, look, the war on drugs is making advances. We're arresting people. Look, aren't we doing a great job? It's completely fake. It's theatre.
The amount of drugs on the street, mate, there's no way you can get that amount of drugs into the country without having government help, and that's the bottom line. Look at the security on the airports. You know, they scan you, they do this, you do that. All your bags get searched. I mean, you've got to put all this stuff through everything. How the hell do you get drugs through an airport? You don't, unless you're part of the government. That's it.
Yeah, put a torpedo from a submarine. Put it that way. That's a good way to learn drugs.
You know, you don't get drugs through any of these major ports or airports or any of this stuff if you don't have government help. And that's the bottom line. And there's so many drugs on the street that aren't native to this country. The amount of heroin, ecstasy, the stuff that you'll find in any major city in this country, there's absolutely no way the government is not involved in it.
You have to have a look at it. I mean, they put drugs in there to break up communities. They did it in Los Angeles with the crack epidemic. That guy, the big kingpin of the drug lord of Los Angeles, that put crack. The CIA put it in there to fund the wars down in South America, and also to break up the community so they wouldn't uprise about their rights. That's how you do it. Keep them dumb. That's what they did with China. Get them all stoned. They had 17 million people addicted to heroin.
And that led to the Boxer Rebellion and the Opium
Wars. Oh, the Opium Wars, yeah. I mean, look, the British Crown, I mean, biggest drug dealers in history, the British Crown Corporation, East India Trading Company.
The whole
British throne was founded on drug money.
Exactly. Take the crown off the Queen's head and you find a whole kilo of coke.
And of course, I
don't know about that, but...
How much opium or heroin is coming out of Afghanistan? I mean,
it's quadrupled, and it's at least four or five times what it was. When it was a lot was coming out before. See, what happened was the Taliban came to power and they got rid of it all. They burned all the poppy fields. They stopped all the opium trade. That's one of the reasons that they went in there, because the CIA were going, oh my God, where are we going to get all our drugs from? So the CIA run the global drug trade. It's all run by high levels of the NSA, the CIA, Mossad, all the high levels of government intelligence agencies. Who runs the drug trade? Who runs the human trafficking trade? Prostitution, all of this stuff. It's all run by these high-level security agencies. And as soon as the Taliban burned all the poppy fields, they went in and declared war on the place and set the place up again. And since the coalition of the willing have been in charge of the place, it's now producing like five times what it ever produced.
That is interesting. And, going back to the Vietnam War, a lot of information has come out showing that during that war there was massive amounts of heroin coming out of Indochina. Mm. And it actually provides a bit of a reason for why the Americans were in there. And a lot of that's been exposed as well, and it even came out in a movie. But in the movie, which was a big movie, it had Denzel Washington in it, but it was... In the movie, they spun it as just one guy, one corrupt guy in the military who was flying. But the movie shows that they were using military aircraft to bring the drugs into America.
We'll have a look.
But I'm sure it was happening on an organized level, and it wasn't just one guy. But that's how Hollywood always turns it into one bad guy, one bad apple.
Yeah, you
watch that film Air America, how they were smuggling it out of Colombia and all that. See, when all the stuff happened in South America, the Iran-Contra scandal and all that sort of thing, right, with the Contra rebels in South America, that was the big cocaine trade the CIA was running out of there. And when that all fell apart, they basically moved their business to Afghanistan. And they set up what is today known as Al Qaeda. These guys were basically drug runners. These guys were running the opium fields for the CIA. And when the Taliban took over, all this stuff happened, and the war with Russia was all very, very complicated. But that was the main base of operations after what happened down there. Yeah, they've been flying out. The guys that they set up as pilots, with all the flight training, and this guy had flight training, and this guy was a pilot and all that, the 19 hijackers, the paper trail from these guys appears to be the fact that they were drug runners. That's why they had all this flight experience and all this stuff they were doing, because they were part of the CIA's drug syndicate running heroin out of Afghanistan. They've been doing it for years, and it's booming at the moment more than it ever has been.
And look at Mexico, and also if you look up Bill Clinton and the cocaine.
Yeah, the biggest of shipments of heroin and cocaine that ever came into America came into Arkansas Airport while Bill Clinton was governor of that state.
There you go. It just shows you the politics. All right, Max, thanks for that. It's been a druggy interview. We've got a song called Provivian Cocaine by Immortal Techniques. But, Max, keep on fighting, mate, and you can go to thecrowhouse.com and we'll get in touch with you.
No worries. We'll get that information to me about Chappelle and I'll put it up on the Crow House and I'll post it on Facebook. And I've got a large audience, so we'll see if we can get something viral happening.
Thanks, Max.
All right, awesome. Awesome, Max. Thanks for that. Here it is.
No worries.
Hey, Max.